KFIZ News Time is coming up on 11 minutes past 10 o'clock here on this Tuesday morning, the 20th day of April of 2021. Spencer Wagon here with you. Always good to chat with our friends over at the Fond du Lac County Historical Society. We chatted with Ben Giles last time around, and this time around we are chatting with our friend Tracy Reinhardt. From the Historical Society, always like to take a couple minutes to learn about some neat local history topics, and we're going to continue those conversations with you here on a Tuesday morning. Tracy, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm just fine. Just fine. Staying warm indoors.
That is absolutely what we are doing here this morning. You and I were talking off the air. I saw the regional forecast, and I want to say like southern Iowa, northern Missouri, parts of Illinois and Michigan are going to see some snow. And my message is they can keep it. So there you go.
Yep. Yeah. But you had snow. You had that word in your forecast too, snow showers.
Showers being the key phrase. Not going to amount to, you know, inches of snow, probably just a very light dusting, if anything. So that's
it. Sure is, but we got spoiled with that one week where we had the beautiful weather.
We did.
We got spoiled a little bit.
That was a couple weeks back, right after Easter. We had, I know I was going down to the fairgrounds for my vaccine shot, and it was, you know, 75 degrees and sunny. But just like Wisconsin does, it changes pretty quickly. So
yes, absolutely.
Well, thanks for joining us as always. We're going to continue. I think last time you were on with us, we talked about this day journal, I think it was. And
yes, I have a day journal that I realized we've had on our shelves for quite a while, and I just took the time to sit down because I was researching for something else and found this. And I've been pretty fascinated by this because this is the early settlers. This is Aurelius Hermiston. Now, the Hermistons, his grandfather was Jerry Hermiston, who was very prominent in the early days. Jerry, his grandfather, actually helped to establish the Congregational and the Presbyterian churches in Fond du Lac. He was the mover and shaker who actually helped to found those churches. And so Jerry was pretty prominent. The family farm was several farms because of Jerry and all and his sons and eventually grandchildren. The family farms were all located along Esterbrook Road on the west side of Fond du Lac. But Aurelius started this day journal when he was 16. So it starts about in the early 1850s. And it becomes fascinating when you look and you get a glimpse of the life of the different farmers at the time, and it made me realize, you know, I totally forgot that you needed wood all year long. And in his day journal, he's constantly hauling a load of wood to one relative or another. So he must have had the woods to create the firewood, but you needed that year round for cooking, not just in the winter for heating. And sometimes I keep forgetting it's not just for heating, it's for cooking in the summer. But he talks about his in-laws, which were the Tompkins family. Now, the Tompkins family actually lived on Superior Street. And at that time, I think Mr. Tompkins was one of the large landholders there. The Tompkins family had 13 children. And the land that he owned all around Superior Street and down Western Avenue, that was the site of one of the early Indian villages, and there was a trading post also on his land along Western Avenue. But this Aurelius married one of the Tompkins girls. And when you read about this, he married her in 1860. They had two children, but she actually died in childbirth with the second child.
Oh.
So then he's living back with his parents, who are helping to raise his two little girls. What struck me the most is then he talks about, this is 1860. He married his first wife in 1860. And then in 1864, one of the other Tompkins girls was getting married. And he describes how she met her husband. She says he first met Mr. Stevens at a Congregational Church sociable. Some of the young ladies were standing in a group talking and laughing when this stranger entered the room with other young men. This sociable was held at the home of Dr. Griffin on Sheboygan Street. Mr. Stevens had sandy whiskers and a rather large nose, and there were remarks by the young lady. In the midst of the laughter, Emily Tompkins said, "I'm going to marry that man." And she was later introduced to him, and that began their courtship and their eventual marriage. Now, another little entry right with this is the fact that Aurelius was widowed now for about 2 years. His mother was raising two young daughters. So when Emily and Mr. Stevens got married, he was best man, and one of her sisters was maid of honor. And at the end of the service, when they were married, then he and the maid of honor stood up. To the surprise of everyone, no one knew this, they got married. So he ended up marrying two of the Tompkins girls. And then he said when they stood up to get married, it caught everybody by surprise, so much surprise, that her father started crying out loud and could not stop crying throughout the whole ceremony. They were so, it was the most embarrassing moment for me. For he had thought a lot of his first wife, and no doubt her father was thinking of her too at that time. Mm-hmm. So, and then he also said that his second wife, the youngest daughter that he married, was the last one that was at home, unmarried. And so she felt this obligation to care for her parents, that her parents needed her to stay single and take care of them. And so she was really torn, should she get married or not. And I had never thought of it that way ever, that a child would feel this obligation to stay and take care of their parents. But as the parents aged, they really did often need help at home. So I guess the marriage won out. So it's really, you don't think that they would do these surprise weddings. Unfortunately, there's another sad element to this story, because the first bride and groom, the first bride, actually 2 years later died in childbirth also.
Wow.
So his first wife, her sister, dies in childbirth. And the thing that strikes me is how matter of fact the deaths are, right along with all these notes for their daily life, what they're doing, going to visit so-and-so, or to actually, there's an entry here where his aunt actually came for a visit from New York. Now, in the 1860s, it's hard to comprehend them coming for a visit, but I believe the railroads were making such inroads that they could travel by rail to come here to visit. So she came here to visit her parents, which would have been Jerry Harmiston, and he made the remark that it was a good thing she came when she did, because that winter after her visit, after his aunt visited, their mother or his grandmother got pneumonia and died. So all these little things, all these taking a load of wood to his grandfather's house for them to use, or going to town to get a hired girl, or coming back and his second wife said, "Hey, I want a house of my own." So then he had to fix up the house that he hadn't been living in for 2 years so that his wife could have a house of her own instead of living with his parents, as they were as they started out doing. It's really quite a reflection to read back when you find these rare diaries, and to discover what life was really like, and how every day there seemed to be something that they were doing. Either they were getting together. There's a note here. They sheared 168 sheep in one day, and then the next day they did 105 more sheep the next day, and then a week later they sold the wool. How many pounds? Almost 1,000 pounds of wool that they sold. And then the big mystery is why you went to Wacoosta every winter in either the end of January or beginning of February. And I suspect it might have been for a horse show or something of that nature, because he would stay overnight and come back.
Mm-hmm.
And never mentioned a person's name that he visited. So these day journals, and we don't have very many, but we do have a few of these day journals that really give you a glimpse of what life was like, especially in the very early days,
mm-hmm.
and how death was such a part of their daily routine. And neighbors really banded together to help one another, or they're buying and selling cattle, you know. There's a one note where he traded a horse for a buggy with one of his neighbors, so he had a new buggy, or you know, he sold a pair of horses. A lot of farmers would in the wintertime would train and gentle horses and then sell them. You know, hey, I got this match pair of horses, good for buggy riding, and so that was how they made extra money also. The diaries are very interesting to read and to just get a glimpse of what life was like then. I can't imagine what life was like for this Aurelius Amundsen, because his first wife died in childbirth,
mm-hmm.
and then when his second wife got pregnant, and he writes that his two little girls went across the road to grandma's house to stay while his wife was giving birth, and that the two little girls at the time noticed that the doctor's buggy was across the road at their house, and they were kind of wondering, maybe a little afraid of why the doctor was there.
Mm.
You know, we have a hard time imagining and going back to that time and that era where women died in childbirth or men died in barn raising or things of that sort that you just don't expect.
Mm-hmm.
Or his own grandmother, step-grandmother, died when she was thrown from the buggy, when the buggy suddenly got, the horse and buggy they were riding in, suddenly got knocked into the ditch, and she was thrown out of the buggy and broke her neck and died instantly.
Man.
It's quite a different life from what we experience now.
Right.
Very, very interesting to read about some of these things.
Yeah. Definitely. It sounds like a fantastic or fascinating read to look back and see what life was like. Like you said, not often we get to see firsthand accounts like that, and pretty interesting to see, right?
Yes. And it's like, these are all, somebody typed up the transcription of his diary. So I have about 70 typed pages of this diary, and it really is a glimpse of the early days surrounding Fond du Lac. I mean, there are a lot of social occasions. They're always going to social events or a camp meeting for church, and that they're gone like 3 days and then they come home. And it's quite a glimpse that you don't very often get of what early life was here. And you can relate because it's Fond du Lac. I know where Superior Street was.
Right.
That sort of thing.
Right. Very cool. Tracy, thanks as always for joining us, telling us about some local history. We'll talk again soon.
All right. Thank you very much.
Have a great day. Tracy Reinhardt joining us from the Fond du Lac County Historical Society. A couple times a month, we take a look at some local history topics here about things like old day journals and different fascinating things going on. By the way, folks of the Historical Society wanted me to mention, too, their podcast. Check it out on their Facebook page. They just launched that a couple weeks back. We talked with Ben Giles about that. About their new Historical Society Fireside Chats podcast, which you can check out. the most recent episodes on their website or check out their Facebook page. You know, they linked them there too. So pretty cool. Local history information being shared, not just here on the radio, but through all their different channels with the Fond du Lac County Historical Society.